You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys, we have an awesome episode coming. Before we get started, I want to talk about our sponsor this week, DraftKings.com. They're the one-day fantasy baseball site, official partner of Major League Baseball. They've been giving out over $1 billion in cash prizes this year. You know all about them, so we asked them to dig into just how much money people from Total Frat Move have won on DraftKings since the site launched, and we were both shocked. $143,000 so far. That's $143,000 won by Total Frat Move users. New depositors can try it out now for free and add to the Total Frat Move winnings by entering promo code TFM. That's promo code TFM. Get in on the winnings right now. Enter promo code TFM now at DraftKings.com. Hello and welcome to TFM Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side, Stand Up New York Labs. We're here every Tuesday with your emails, your stories, your questions. TFMPodcast@gmail.com. It's TFMPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for getting involved with this podcast. I love how much you guys like listening to this. Keep encouraging your friends. We want to keep it growing. Keep telling one of your pledge brothers or maybe a buddy of yours from high school you're going back home for the summer. Encourage one person to check us out because everyone needs these at the gym. I listen to tons of podcasts at the gym, on the way to something. Keep your mind off a scary Sunday when the hangover starts getting after you. It's a good thing. If you love it, your friend will love it. I would love for you to push it on to them. Thank you for doing that already, but keep spreading the word. I'm very excited about this week's guest. Very funny comic, Andy Hendrickson. Thank you.
Hey, everybody.
Thanks
yeah,
for coming.
Whoa, all right. Thank you guys for listening. It's glad to be here. Yeah.
See, it's funny because no one expects that. We talk and we're like hanging out, and then I'm like, okay, it's about to get radio-y.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
hey, no, it's
you got to bring the heat.
It's necessary. Yeah.
You got to get people into it, right?
Yeah.
Andy is an awesome comic. You've seen him on TV. Letterman.
Yeah, I did Letterman, Ferguson, other stuff.
Other stuff
coming out.
Well, go check him out. He's a fantastic comic. We don't know each other very well.
No.
I open for you near New York, and sometimes I'll meet people. I'm like, oh, this guy will be great, you know, for this podcast, and
yes,
we'll hit it off, and you'll be a perfect guest. And I had that feeling about you.
Yeah.
So you guys can go find Andy's stuff, andyhendrickson.com. He is at Andy Hendrickson on all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Go check him out. Go support him. Be a fan. He's great. Are you ready to answer some emails?
Yeah, let's do it.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You went to West Virginia, right?
West Virginia University is a big party school.
That
still
is. That is all the all-time champ at this point. Like, I feel like they've been a good party school for like 30 years running.
Yeah, when I was there, we were like ranked. Playboy used to do a ranking. I don't know if they still do it, but we were like ranked eighth. And then my sophomore year, they said, we can't rank professionals with amateurs. So we were like above
you
number
were even
one.
Out of the running.
Yeah.
What would maybe the craziest party you had at West Virginia? The thing about West Virginia that ups the ante is great alcohol.
Yeah,
and we used to do that. That's one of those things you never heard about in high school. Like, I'd just be happy to get, like, you know, the little bit of vodka in a Poland Spring bottle.
Right.
And then you go to, like, I went to Penn State, and people would be, like, you know, drinking, whatever, and then be like, then you hear these war stories about West Virginia.
Grain alcohol.
And they'd have this.
We used to call them grape and grain parties.
What's that?
It's just grape, drink, whatever, purple.
Purple drink, I think they call it now.
Purple mixed with grain alcohol.
Yeah.
We put it in, like, a giant. We buy a brand new trash can and just mix it up, and people would just drink it out of
like witch's brew.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But I remember one time our fraternity, we like.
What fraternity were you in?
I was in Sigma Nu.
Okay, cool.
We had a party with the DGs. We were kind of a new fraternity. We started it up, like, it got shut down on campus, and we started it up.
Well, that's interesting because we do have people that write in to the podcast wondering how to start up their own fraternity, how to start, or should they, shouldn't they? What are the pros and cons? What did you think about that?
I thought it was cool because we built it on our own.
How did that happen? Yeah.
Well, what happened was my freshman year, someone came onto our dorm floor and was like, hey, these dudes are giving, it's free pizza if you just got to listen to these guys talk. So we
went that is the key to all people's arts.
Yeah. And then we
free
were like,
free pizza.
Went down there and the Sigmanu Nationals were in town.
They you get there, they're like, listen, we want you to join the KKK. And you're like, we're just going to take the pizza.
Yeah, we'll take the pizza and the paperwork.
Yeah.
And we'll think about it. But yeah, so when we went down there, next thing you know, like these guys were...
Good dudes,
smooth talkers.
What are their positions? Like, are they from the National?
Yeah, from the Nationals. And then they just said, you know, Sigmanu's been shut down for 5 years. We want to bring it back.
Yeah.
There was an empty house right on Fraternity Row that everyone was like,
oh my God.
Yeah, and they're like, we think we can get this house. Do you guys interested? I wasn't even interested back then.
Yeah.
And then...
That's probably the best way to go about joining fraternities in general is just to have like an open mind. Like yeah. You said, you weren't even interested, but you probably just didn't even think about it. You know,
I didn't even. Well, I lived in my dorm was right across the street from all the frat houses.
Yeah,
you could just go to all the parties. I didn't see
the reason.
Yeah. The value. And I remember my buddy's older brother was in one. He was like invited me over to a couple parties, and I was like, "Gosh, why is he being so nice?" That's how dumb I was. I was 17 when I was.
But everyone has that moment where like this guy's being the man to me, and yeah. You're realizing quickly like, oh, they need somebody to clean this place.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They need someone to scrub the toilet.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just started it up. I can't remember, you know, exactly how it went, but it was a lot of like meetings and regulations, and
you had to learn everything so that you could pass it down. Like you're the first one to learn it for that school.
They call founding fathers.
Yeah,
and so. We got it off the ground, and I would say the way we really got popular on campus, because people were like, who are these freshmen sophomores?
Totally. Well, that's a big concern. Like, how do you break the mold? How do you go from being the new guys that got shut down to, oh, these cool dudes?
Plus they were shut down because they were like super nerds. They used to call them Sigma nerds.
Oh, really? Very creative in West Virginia.
Or Sigma who.
Oh, yeah, Sigma who. That's a good one. I like that.
But, so what we did was we just put all our budget into throwing, we used to call them, a lot of people call them mixers.
Yeah.
Back, we called them listeners in Morgantown, which when you mix with a sorority.
We call them socials, yeah.
Yeah, socials. They were called listeners because back in the day, they used to get together and listen to the games on the radio, the out-of-town games.
Oh.
So anyway, we did these listeners with the sororities, and we just put all our effort in having the best parties with the sororities. And if the sororities like you...
Yeah.
Then they tell everyone, then all of a sudden you're cool.
So instead of having the major party, you started small.
We started that way.
You started with the girls, convincing them that you were cool. And then it's like, okay, now other guys are going to come here to get with the hot girls that you've already told is cool. And that is what happens. And a lot of times what you'll have is these girls that become like fans of your fraternity.
Yeah.
And then when they are at your, when you invite freshmen in to rush and stuff, they start being like, you gotta join here.
Right.
And you hear this hot girl talking to you with a smile, and you're like, oh, I definitely want to be here. And that is like how you get, you know, better pledge classes and all that stuff. Because I know a lot of people listen, they're like, you know, they have that question a lot. And, you know, I think the start small is great advice, because it's like, you know, listen, you can throw the biggest party of the year and everyone will say, have their own experience at that party. If you throw a small party with this other sorority, their only experience is your fraternity.
Right.
They can't create their own. You've created it for them.
Yeah. And we did like really like...
What was the best one you had? What
was yeah,
creative. That's what we've been talking about too. What was the most creative one that you've had?
We did
had?
One called the Sigma Nuclear Waste Party, where we put... papered all the walls with white.
Okay. And
we told all the girls to wear white t-shirts. We all wore white t-shirts. We got put black lights everywhere.
Yeah.
And then we got a snow cone machine with neon green snow cones with vodka in them. And then we all signed each other and wrote on the walls and
So it was like all the neon, like the glow in the dark colors and stuff like that. And
That was groundbreaking back then.
But that's something where girls see that and they're like, oh, these guys are thinking of us.
I can't remember. We did a bunch of like really theme stuff, and we always went to the nth degree to make it like really cool. And
as professionally as possible.
And the girls are like, it's the same thing as dating a woman now. Like, they like to see that you did the extra effort.
Do you
plan this nice evening for them kind of thing.
Yes. And it's like,
evening where you're trying to have sex with them.
At the end, well, we all know that's the thing. You can't, there's so much, and we were talking about this before we started, but you know, the illusion is gone from the courting process. Everybody, you know, the hookup culture exists now where it's like, I'm just out there to fuck. Like, you literally see all these Tinder horror stories where guys are like, yo, let's go fuck right now. That is putting the cart before the horse. You're going to have a better experience and probably get with more girls if you're going to, you know, put some thought into it, some effort into it, show that you're not just another guy repeating a line he saw from his buddy on Tinder.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be a better thing. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. We're here with Andy Hendrickson at Andy Hendrickson on all platforms, andyhendrickson.com. You can go find his album for free.
Yeah, it's like my old, it's basically like 30 minutes of content that I don't sell. It's just a free giveaway.
So go check it out. That'll get you get you to be a fan because he's a fantastic comic. This one's, you ready for the emails?
Yeah, let's do it.
Barista needs help. Sup, Jay Boner, the Mona Lisa of Jay nicknames.
Jay Boner.
Everyone gives me a different Jay nickname.
Oh.
So like J Train, but then they change it to Jay Boner.
Jay Bone.
Jay Bone. I like Jay Bone. The year is winding down. I recently got back on my minimum wage grind. My bro's 21st is coming up, so I need some cash to pop bottles on a well-needed vacation. Unlike McDonald's or a job in retail, I carry a distinct advantage over the competition. I provide the fuel to basic bitches everywhere. Hashtag Starbs. Contrary to popular belief, there are straight men that work at Starbucks. I work in a big market college town with a prestigious university. I don't go to the school, but I am at a university. I ain't no lowlife. The question is, other than slipping girls free drinks, is there a way to get a high-class sorority girl to take me seriously in a 15-second conversation without coming off as a creepy wage slave at a cash register? Love the podcast, your local barista.
What did he say? He slips into their drinks? Oh, no, slipping them free drinks.
Yeah, without giving them free drinks. How is he gonna meet a chick while being the Starbucks barista is his question. He's at a university town, but it's not his university. So I'm assuming, you know, there can be, it's not like he goes to school and he can say, I go here, so.
Oh, but he doesn't go to school at all. He just works at Starbucks.
No, I think he goes to school. He said the year's winding down. He
doesn't go to that particular.
I am at a university, but he's not at that one that is in the town. Right. How does he get girls?
I mean, he's got every day, all the hottest chicks are coming right through there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You've been a great guest so far.
Yeah. You got 15 seconds.
What he does. I know exactly how he pulls this.
Okay, let's hear it. Because
I think the thing is, I frequent Starbucks. I am a customer.
I am too.
You're holding it right here. You can see it. If you're watching on Daily Motion, you can see we're drinking some right now. I am a regular Starbucks, and I go to the same one. Most people who are regular Starbucks people go to their local Starbucks. It is your place. I do have, at this point, I've been going to the same one because I moved in September. So since September, I've been going to the same one. So I do have facial recognition with the staff there. During my time that I'm there.
Hey, the usual.
Hey, what do you get? Yo, you get that still? Like, they know, they're starting to get to know me even within 3 months of going there. You know everybody.
Right.
What he needs to do is start, remembering specific girls' drinks.
Yes.
And then they'll know that
names.
And their names. Lisa, double macchiato.
Yeah.
And now he can, that's where the conversation starts. Now, you recognized her, you remembered her name, you put in that extra effort, just like we're talking about with these sorority parties. Right. Then what you're going to do is, I know how they work at Starbucks. So there's always the register guy that's calling out the orders. Then there's the barista guy making the drinks and sitting at the edge of the bar.
Right.
He needs to not remember the girls' names during high traffic times. He needs to remember girls' names that come during the slow afternoon period. Because there's different times of the day for different people.
Yeah, where you can take some time to chat them up a little bit.
Exactly. So you remember a girl's name. You start remembering her order. Then when you're in that barista position, the one where you're making the coffee, you start saying, what's going on this weekend? Yeah. You're a young guy. She's not going to look at you and be like, he's creepy.
Yeah.
You're young just like she's young. And then you slip in little things about your life. You know, you want to upsell yourself because, yeah, you're Joe Starbucks right now, but you want to let her know that Joe Starbucks is on the way to Joe Millionaire.
That's right.
So you want to slip in, I don't go to school here. I go to Yale. Ever heard of it?
Right.
I'm trying to make some money because, you know, I sent some bucks home to my sick mother. Right. You know, stuff like that.
I support now the you're children ups- yeah, in Africa.
In Africa. Like, you're upselling yourself, but that conversation needs to be asking her questions that will be return volley to you.
Right.
Because if she shows interest, you'll be like, hey, what do you, you know, what's your major? You studying here at the university? You here doing summer session? She'll be like, yeah, I study this, this, and that. Oh, really?
Where my do you friend, stay at?
Blah, blah, yeah, blah. Yeah, my friend studies at my school. I go to here. Now, you're not just Joe Starbiz.
Open-ended questions.
Yes, get her talking.
No, yes or no.
But this
be
is...
Be funny, too. They like funny.
Yes. Be, this is a slow play, though. I'm not saying if you come out. You know,
you can't come out of the gate at Starbucks and just start asking chicks.
You can't
out.
Be cocky barista. No one wants that out of their barista. They want this guy's got better shit to do, buddy. Remember my name,
right?
And that upsells you, and then you start slipping in little positives. You know, oh yeah, I go to the school that's in another state. I love, you know, oh, we do this nuclear party all the time. Are you going to a party like that this weekend?
Sigma nuclear waste party.
Yeah.
And then she goes, Sigma who?
Sigma who? TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. We're there with Andy Hendrickson. You can go find him on all platforms at Andy Hendrickson, also HenryHendrickson.com. Let's go to the next one. My big problem. Sup, bros? I just started listening to your podcast. Very fresh. Want to see your guys' opinion on something since it literally flipped my fraternity upside down.
Whoa.
When I told them this. When I first got to college, I did pretty well when it came to girls. My campus isn't the hottest in the world, but when you're wasted in a dark basement, anyone is a supermodel. I like that attitude.
That's good attitude.
This basement's just dark enough. a good amount of the time I was able to close. My brothers would always give me a pat on the back and get rowdy after we clapped a girl out of the house. You ever do that before?
Oh, dude, I know. I have a crazy story about that.
Tell it.
Walk of shame story. So,
please.
In West Virginia, all the fraternities are on this big hill called High Street.
Okay.
So we were in the Sigma Nu house, and at the top of the hill, we called them Sig Eps. I think they were Sigma Phi Epsilon or whatever.
Sig Ep is, that's a fraternity. We had them.
And we, you know, all the fraternities had rivalries, but we kind of, you know, some got along with better with other ones.
Totally.
But it was snowing super heavy out, and so there was probably like 200 guys outside throwing snowballs at each other.
Okay.
Just a huge snowball fight. And way at the top of this, it's a made out of brick, like cobblestoney kind of road.
Okay.
Way at the very top, this girl starts walking down from the Sig Ep house. No one notices her, but one of the guys at the Sig Ep house just opens his window. And you just hear him going, "Shocker!"
No.
Shocker! So 200 guys just all. Oh, this story's mean, by the way.
Yeah, this is.
200 guys just all swivel their head and they see this girl. She's wearing the clothes.
So wait a minute. If we can set the scene a little bit, just because I need to understand. So all the fraternities are on a hill, and at the top of the hill is one house, and then they all just line this paved.
They all line on one side, and there's dorms on the other side.
So, but that brick road that she's walking down, this is like the yellow brick road from hell.
Yes. Yeah. And it's covered in snow.
Oh, my God. And this guy yells out his window, "Shacker."
Yeah, and she is already like on her way, just getting to get off the driveway from the frat house.
Yes.
That leads onto the very top of this hill where there's at least four or five frat houses
that have about 200 guys outside
200
already.
200 guys outside already throwing snowballs at each other. He draws attention to her.
Yes.
We look up. She has to go down the brick road in the snow.
Yeah.
In her high heels from the night before, wearing her clothes from the night before. And someone starts up the chant. They start going, "Shacker, Shacker." Next thing you know,
I'm getting excited because
as the girl's walking down the hill, there's 200 guys just chanting, "Shaq."
This is literally out of Revenge of the Nerds.
Shaq.
Yeah. This is what the guy, what's his name, does, where he goes, "Nerds!" Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Ogre.
Yeah.
I could not. I mean, it was so mean, but I could not stop laughing, man. It was so funny.
And she just walked by.
Well, a couple guys threw snowballs.
Oh, no. This is all in good fun, though. I mean, like, this is what college is. And there's somebody, some woman is listening right
nowadays,
now.
Nowadays, there would be a lawsuit.
Yeah, or something like that. But I remember when we'd have girls sleep at our fraternity house, we all lived in the house all 4 years.
Yeah.
So when and we'd all eat lunch at the house. Like, that was a big thing.
Right.
So if you had a girl that stayed through lunch,
yeah,
you know, someone would, like, if a girl stayed, like, up to lunch, someone would come down, like, a roommate would come down and be like, yo, Smitty has a chick in his room still. And she's going to be walking out soon. And we'd all just go to the front, like, the patio, and just wait. And, like, just stand in a way that you knew you, like, you had nothing to do. Like, I would look at a wall, and then be like,
hello.
Yeah. So this is like
a musical or something. Like, they're just standing there, and then their cue is when she walks.
Yeah, and then we all just start moving around in our positions. So that's hysterical, though. I mean, the setup is how it's, you know, that setup is made for someone to just do a walk of shame.
Yeah, it had to happen. Also, you just remember.
I love the guy that's like Tom that just throws open his window. What's the movie where he just puts his window up and he's just like, he's just like,
yeah.
Hello, Neverland!
Right,
you
yeah.
Know, like,
it's like when one dog in a neighborhood barks. It sets off all the other dogs barking.
That is exactly. So this guy writes, but it was assumed that everything went normal in the bedroom. So he goes, my brother would always give me a pat on the back and get rowdy after we clapped the girl out of the house, but it was assumed that everything went normal in the bedroom. I'll say this also to our female listeners. When you get clapped out of a house, or when there's a Shacker chant, like, no one remembers the girl.
Right.
It's more that you did it. Like, no one's thinking of the girl less than.
Right.
We're more just being like, that's hilarious.
That's hilarious. You guys got laid. Whatever.
Yeah. Good for you both. Like, there's no, to me, like, someone could look at that and be like, oh, that's so mean. It's not meant with ill will. Like, no one's yelling Shacker and then being like, well, that girl is a slut. She's off the list. Every guy there is like jealous of the guy.
Well, I wonder now, I'm just trying to picture the opposite. If a dude ever slept over at a sorority house, which that never usually happens that way.
I mean, we would have we had sorority
girls
dorms.
Just going, all right. Yeah,
I would be bowing.
They're sipping their tea or whatever.
Yeah, I would be so into it. I'd be high-fiving, doing like the Michael Jordan, the Bulls coming out.
Yeah, that's the way the culture is, right? If a guy, if that happened, girls were all clapping, you'd be like, awesome.
I'm the man. Yeah. And then a girl kind of ducks her head and doesn't want to talk about it again.
And dodges
snowballs. But guys would never think of her in a bad context, I think. I think it's more just about the guy.
Right.
At that point, for a lot of guys.
The only time guys would start thinking of her in a bad context if the next weekend she started out of a different house.
Another guy just yells, Shacker again!
Yeah, Shacker again!
So he writes, my brothers would always give me a pat on the back and get rowdy after we clapped a girl out of the house, but it was assumed that everything went normal in the bedroom. Yet there was something they never knew until my junior year. I told them the truth. I can't nut.
Wow.
Can he not nut with just a girl, or can he jerk off?
That's right. I bang bitches, but I can't ejaculate with them. It took my brothers a couple hours to digest, and within those couple hours, literally everybody, he writes in caps, in my fraternity knew. Even stretching beyond our house, eventually most of Greek life knew about it, and everyone had to give their 2 cents. Yeah, okay. I'm sure. I'm about to throw in mine. It even became a chant at sports and big events. And then he writes, blank, don't nut. Blank, don't nut. That was the chant. I love that chant.
I mean, right now I'm just thinking something good could come out of that. Women could see that as a challenge.
Here we go. I embraced it for a little, and then it got old because people thought that I had all the support that I would pull through and get the job done. But it was more pressure than anything, and I eventually just became a disappointment, and it wasn't even funny anymore. People would just use it as an insult against me, which is a cheap shot, to be honest. I agree with him. A joke like that's fun until you have the... I like jokes like that until the least creative guy gets involved.
Yeah, then it starts to get...
Then it's annoying. Like, oh, dude, this is your fucking crutch, man. I'm giving you a personality.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I hate that guy that can't do... He's never involved in the ball busting. Then all of a sudden, he knows the joke that everyone does.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't nut.
Can't nut.
Yeah, dude, you're fucking late to that party.
Yeah, it's the only thing he's got.
It's all he's got. So I agree with him. So I was determined to fix it. First, I developed theories, along with a few opinions of my brothers, of why I had this problem. And then he lists off whiskey dick, jerking off too much, lack of focus, that stank puss, saving it for bae. I'm gifted. I'm gay. There were too many factors to try and fix all of them, so I decided to use my problem to my benefit. I started telling girls about it, and they took it as a challenge. This is what you were saying.
Yeah.
So last summer, I had multiple fuck buddies who were determined to make me nut. The times we banged, I was fairly wasted. Some I was sober, but none of them were able to get the job done. I was even more disappointed in the fact that seniors made it their wish for me to nut before they graduated, and I couldn't finish the job. Pun intended. I love the fact... My thought is, I love...
It's a community effort.
It was a community effort. It became a town struggle. I love the thought of that, him getting...
started a Kickstarter campaign.
Help him get the nut. I also love the thought of him being like, having a girl on top of them being like, get off! It ain't gonna happen.
It ain't happening.
This ain't the time. You don't got it in ya.
You're not the one.
Yeah, you're not
like
the one.
Like Neo from so, the
no,
Matrix.
What's the one with the sword and the stone?
Highlander?
Excalibur. Oh, right. Like every girl trying to grab that nut out of him. Now I'm a senior. I've burned most of my bridges with girls, especially the fuck buddies who were worn out and defeated by my curse. Most of the people who knew about my problem graduated. Production has dropped, as does any college student not wiped up by senior year. That's a true thing. Senior year, you've gone around the horn. You have a reputation. There is this thing where you're looking at the same people you've been looking at for 4 years. You can go down, but then everyone can talk to those girls that are younger and let them know exactly what your story is. So that senior year, there can be a little bit of a drought.
Yeah, just hang out with your buddies.
But I still have my fair share of hookups, but rarely bang. A cold streak, per se. I sort of gave up hope at the beginning of the year, decided to focus more on studying and less on trying to slam. But now, with only a few months left of my college career, I want to conquer this problem. A lone wolf on an adventure in search of the holy nut.
Wow.
Thanks for reading. I would certainly like to hear your take on this. Stay fratty, stay sleazy, party hard, party dangerous. Wish me luck.
So you have to assume that he can nut on his own. Like,
that's the assumption I'm making as well. If
that wasn't the case,
you got to see a doctor. You have to see a doctor. If you're not nutting at all, then the doctor is where you come in. But what do you think? He did write jerking off too much could be one of his problems. So I'm assuming he's nutting somewhere, just not with a lady.
So I would say, just don't jerk off at all.
You think a cold turkey jerking?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so too. I think
at least go like from Monday to the weekend and see if, you know, something happens on the weekend.
Also, yeah, I agree. I think you stop whacking off. The other thing, don't put pressure on yourself to please a woman.
Right.
I think that could be part of it, because like maybe his pressure is like he's like, I want to last enough time. Like he's trying.
Oh, right.
He, you know, when you're
sometimes
fucking,
there's a point of no return if you're getting ready to bust a nut and then you kind of pull back because you want to keep her happy.
Yeah.
Then you miss your window.
Yeah, you're kind of...
Especially if you're drinking.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, you, when you're having sex, there is this, you know, the fear that a guy has to go too soon. Then the fear is that you're going too late because, you know, it's gotten boring for both of you. You know, you've switched positions. You've done everything that is, you know, appropriate and nice for that time. So there's this, like, window of time that you have to nut in, that if you don't, it can be a little weird. So so you're trying to hit a bullseye in a moving target.
Yeah.
So I understand it. I think he should leave that. He should undress himself of that responsibility. Right now, it should be all about him.
I think also, this is bigger picture stuff, but these are all just flings, one night stands.
Yeah.
Like if he had a girlfriend, it might be...
Might help him.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally help.
Yeah, maybe that's the way.
It's got to be one consistent.
I think it's either stop caring about, I mean, this is horrible. I think you should care about pleasing a woman, but you should not care about embarrassing yourself and going too quick or get that out of your head.
And is he wearing condoms the whole time? Because condoms.
Sometimes, some guys are like, you know, very sensitive to condoms where they only.
They don't work.
They don't work.
They don't, yeah, you can't.
They can't come with them on. Yeah. But I wouldn't. I think the girlfriend route's the way to go.
That's what I think. I think there's some kind of mental block.
They're all hookups.
Yeah.
So maybe if he put some time into actually meeting a woman.
this is going to sound far-fetched. Like insane advice.
This is going to sound crazy.
Someone that you actually care about and have feelings for.
And then maybe that... What if when he comes... Like literally,
flowers
come out and like love hearts and every emoji comes out and
or just dark poison.
Just a ghost. <Yeah. laughs> Like, what's the
spirits,
the movie,
demons.
You know, the, in the movie Ghost, when they kill the guy, the
shadow that
those shadows come out
and drag someone off to hell.
That'd be the do you think this would be a curse? That, like,
demon semen.
Yeah, could a witch give this as a curse, be like, and now doth shall never come.
Yeah.
With a woman.
He probably fucked a gypsy. It's probably what it was.
That's probably
she
what it was.
Him.
I don't know. I feel for the guy, but also, like, it sounded like he had what was the premise to a fantastic movie that all of us would want to be in, where all these girls are just waiting outside, rolling up their sleeves to come try and get this nut out of them. You know, I don't feel bad about that.
Dunking their forearms into lubricants. I'm next.
TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Yeah. If you've had a similar situation, send that in. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. We're here with Andy Hendrickson.
Well, hello, hello, kitties. Didn't expect J-Train to be popping in, but I just want to talk about our sponsor this week, DraftKings.com. They're the one-day fantasy baseball site, official partner of Major League Baseball, giving out over $1 billion in cash prizes this year. That's sexy, just like my voice. You guys need to join in, because we actually asked DraftKings to tell us how much total Frat Move users have won since the site launched, and we were both shocked. $143,000 so far. That's $143,000 so far. That'd pay for your college experience times a million, okay? New depositors could try it out for free and add to the total Frat Move winnings by entering promo code TFM. Get in on the winnings, enter promo code TFM now at DraftKings.com and join the rest of the dudes listening and watching and reading on Total Frat Move. Now, back to our show.
TFMpodcast@gmail.com. We're here with Andy Hendrickson. You can go find him on Twitter, Insta, Snap. At Andy Hendrickson, and go to his website, get his album, Fantastic Comic, on Letterman, Ferguson, AndyHendrickson.com. Also, you can go to my website. I got videos and stuff out there. I got t-shirts that I'm selling.
What your t-shirts say?
Dudes being dudes. Ah. And then I have another one with the emoji arm.
Yeah.
And then another one with the emoji chick that's bobbing her hair.
Yeah.
So you can go check those out, JTrainComedy.com. I know people have liked those shirts. Also, you can go to StandUpNY.com. Use the promo code TFM, get free tickets to any show here at the club.
Nice.
That's pretty fantastic. Yeah. You perform here when you're
in
New York. When I'm
in town,
I perform here, so you can go to their website, standupny.com, and use the promo code TFM, get free tickets. Also, you can go on iTunes and give us a nice rating. That's really helpful. It's really more helpful than the amount of time it takes you to do that. So if you can go do that, that would really help us out. Some shout outs. I'd like to give some Snapchat shout outs. You're on there. I convinced you to get on. I've convinced a lot of the guests on this podcast.
But I never hardly ever use it.
I'm JTrain56. You can send me your shits or tits. I will take both. What up, J Titty? New listener here. Love the podcast. Trying to get some shit pics and man tits sent to my Snapchat and anal brother.
Why man tits?
Oh, he wants his buddy to get fucked with. He's a little bitch when it comes to receiving pictures of voluptuous loafs, and nothing would make me happier to know he's getting pics from an army of porcelain artisans. His Snapchat is Roger Davis, fire at will. Another one, shout out to my bro Blake Adam on Snapchat, Blake12 Bannon. That's Blake12 Bannon with two N's. Send him tons of shits, no tits, fucking drown him in shits. Sup, juice bag. That might be the worst nickname in the history of the podcast, but fuck it. We talked on Snapchat, and you told me to send an email, so here it is. Tell the podcast world to follow me on Twitter, at Dr. Teppers, with two Ps. Keep up the good work. I agree with what you said during the Masters. I would pay $1 billion for Jim Nantz to put me to sleep. I got my frat brothers and even the GDI pussies I talked to for some reason to listen in. Thanks, man. Yo, J-Train, tell all the amazing female listeners to add me on Snapchat. That's JUSLISENTOJAZZ, and it's called Just Listen to Jazz. Send that guy shits, okay? I'll be honest, I don't like typing that much. Shout me out, and I'll be grateful. Ryan_Rune, RUNNE. He'd prefer tits, but I'll get the shits. Awesome. Thank you guys for writing in. If you want to shout out, just email the podcast, tfmpodcast@gmail.com. I am JTrain56 on Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram. I'm Jared Freed. You can follow me all there. This one's called Military or College.
Yeah.
So I knew this about you, and we talked about it a little bit. A lot of your family's in the military, right?
Right. My whole family. Navy, my dad, my grandfather, my two older brothers.
How'd they feel about you not going to the military?
I don't know. They were fine with it.
Yeah.
I'm sure my dad would have preferred it, but...
What do you think of the advantages to someone, you know, going that
route? Well, it depends on who you are, and, you know, for me, I did not want to shave my head and live with men, you know?
So you joined a fraternity.
Yeah. Where I just didn't have to shave my head.
Yeah.
I think the military is a good option for people who need that discipline. They're not interested in having the college lifestyle.
But it also gives you an opportunity to go to college, you know, right. In the future.
You could also go to college and do an ROTC program, which is a good way to kind of feel
buddy,
it out.
I had a buddy in my fraternity that was in the ROTC, and that guy never fucking stopped.
Right.
He was waking up to do the drills and had to wear certain things certain days. It just seemed like a lot of work to me.
It is.
It's a very big commitment.
I think the benefit in the military is it teaches you discipline.
So totally.
If you need discipline, which
also, we talked about this on a past podcast. There's nothing wrong with like taking that time before you go to college. And like this kind of lets you do something that's proactive in your life.
Right.
And also offers you the opportunity to like better yourself as an individual. And then you can go to college. The GI Bill is a pretty fantastic thing. You know?
Right.
You can. This guy writes, J Train, I'll get straight to it. I'm a poor senior from New York. There's practically no way for me to pay for college. I could barely afford my private school these past years, but I've been dreaming about college since I was a kid, and not going or having to wait for it seems crazy to me. I've been accepted to a few schools. Out of all of them, I'm likely to go to a Big 12 school. He says WVU.
Oh, nice.
Because it will only cost a few grand, likely be fun as fuck, but all the better schools like UCLA, NYU that I could get into, I have no way of paying for. My mother left me when I was young. My father is reluctant to pay it. I cannot get a loan alone. There's no cosigner, and I have failed to get a scholarship to pay for it. So naturally, the military's promise to pay for everything seems fucking awesome. I was thinking of the Navy or Air Force because I'm too bitch for the Marines, and the Navy has bitches. This all makes sense.
Yeah, my brother's Navy SEAL. He wouldn't appreciate
it. Oh, really?
And my dad.
Well, he wrote he's a bitch for the Marines.
Oh, right. I thought he said the Navy has bitches. Oh, the Navy has bitches.
Has chicks.
Yeah.
How do you, is that a real thing?
Yeah, but I feel like the Air Force, I've done shows over in Iraq and Afghanistan.
You have?
Yeah, and it seemed like to me, if you're going to go, the easiest route is the Air Force.
Oh, really? Yeah. Do you have to be like super smart to get in the Air Force?
You might have to be. I don't know.
He sounds smart. He said he could get into NYU. So
yeah, I think Air Force is the way to go. As far
when you
as
go like, do shows for the military, what's that like?
It's cool. I mean, I did it during wartime in Iraq. And
scary.
It was a little scary. I always used to say it was kind of like going swimming in the ocean. If you don't think about the sharks, it's no problem. But if you're out there swimming and you start thinking about sharks, then you get a little scared.
Yeah. This guy writes, I would go to the military to use the post 9/11 GI Bill to pay for college. It will pay 100% of my tuition at any public university, room and board, and $1,000 for books each year. That's pretty good.
That sounds like
also,
a good deal.
But also, I'd be able to save money while I'm active, which means I won't have to worry about paying anything from tuition to dues. But what does that mean I'll miss out on? Hundreds of potential slams, thousands of gallons of cheap beer, half a decade of my life. All my family tells me not to go, but everyone I've spoken to in the Navy says they've loved it and had a great time. So should I go to an adequate university, academics-wise, struggle to pay for everything, but still have a great time, leave in debt, or go to the military, give my 4 years of life to Uncle Sam, and he'll pick up the tab? I don't know what to do, bro. Please help. P.S. How will this affect my Greek life if I rush after the military? I've talked about this in the past because we've had a few emails about will I be able to rush when I get out of the... Yeah, you'll be fine. They'll love you. You'll be... If you go to college after doing the military,
you can buy beer.
Yeah, you can buy beer, one, and you're also like... You're going to come from a different perspective that's just fun and great. And the only thing that you should do if you're in that position is don't act better than the room. You know, right. Like be a part of it. Give yourself to the process. You know, don't act because you're 4 years older that you're above it. You're still a freshman. You still don't know the shit.
Well, he said he'd be 5 years older, right? Half a decade. Is it a four-year plan or...
It sounds like a four-year plan. Whatever it is, I'm just saying, for Greek life, he shouldn't worry about that. You'll be invited with open arms. You can buy beer. You'll be a cool dude because you were in the army or in the military. You've done service. everyone will appreciate that. So, but
it's,
what do you
it's
think?
It's two different, it's going to be, I mean, it's two completely different
lives.
Lives.
Yeah.
Like.
What would you say from the perspective of, I mean, you took the other road.
And I loved it.
And you loved it.
I loved it.
Did you have any college debt afterwards?
No, well, I was, my parents helped pay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when I went to West Virginia, it was dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Everything's gone up a lot. But I would say as far, okay, if you're going to go to a college,
yeah,
go to one of the, like go to West Virginia or go to one of the schools that are cheaper. Don't, you don't need to go to one of the big schools because you're going to get just as good an education.
If it's, well, we had a guy write in about going to Yale or Arizona State, and we were like, go to Yale. You know, right. Like that's Yale. That's something right. that you can have for life. But there's only like 10 of those schools where you say the name and you have immediate credibility.
Right.
So a school like West Virginia, like I went to Penn State. West Virginia versus Penn State, nobody turns their head to either of those schools, whether, you know, they're the same.
Right. And finding a job out of college these days is, it's a lot. It's, you got to get the right breaks. You got to know the right people.
Totally.
It's all about.
That's why I would say to him, go do the military. Like, I mean, if you want to, first of all, here's what everyone wants to do. You want to get a good education. You want to differentiate and you want to fuck chicks. Okay. The military, yes, you're putting off your life for 4 years, but 24 in the year 2015 is a lot different than 24 in the year 1975.
That's right.
You're living a lot longer. People are putting, girls are not getting married at 18. You're not missing out on all the girls in the world. I'm 30. I know a lot of other single 30-year-olds. Yeah. Like, it's not, you're not really putting off, in the grand scheme of life of 80 years on earth, you're not really putting off life that much.
Right.
So it's, I mean, to me, my parents would probably say the same thing, like, don't go to the military because they didn't have that, didn't do that. But, you know, join the Air Force, that's fucking awesome. Like, you know, and also you can do well in school. You'll have the, I didn't have the discipline when I went to college to know how to do well in school.
Yeah, I almost failed out.
You did?
Yeah.
I had the same problem. I once made, sorry, mom and dad, I made a fake report card.
Yeah. Well, I did that in seventh grade, but Jesus, I'm a little worried about you.
I made a fake report card just because I was like, I don't want to deal with it. I'll do better next semester.
Right.
Let me just show them something to get off my back. And right. like I was putting in so much, my wheels were turning so much, so many times to not study.
Yeah.
That I could have just turned them
yeah,
a little
you
less
put so much
to
effort
study.
Into not studying and typing up a fake report card.
But I'm saying like this guy, he sounds like a smart guy. He sounds like he could get into the Air Force and do some good there and,
yeah.
you know, have a great skill that is coveted by employers when it comes to that time. But then he can go to college and not have to worry about money.
Yeah.
You know, coming out of college with no debt is almost like you've come out of college with money in your hand.
It's crazy. The whole,
I mean, the bubbles,
political debate, but I feel like it's almost like indentured servitude. Now you get out of college and you have to just get a job wherever. There's no freedom to pick a job or a field that you really want to be in because you just need money immediately.
Well, that's the truth too. I mean, I know that, you know, for me entering into comedy, you know, I worked in finance, went into comedy, and I've been lucky enough to be able to, you know, invest in myself doing this, you
right.
know, invest in myself doing a podcast on 3:30 on a Monday instead of having to, you know, go into a job every day that I also had to do comedy with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this offers him opportunity of freedom, you know, where he'll have some money, no debt. He'll be that much farther ahead and good life experience. I think I'm leaning towards the military. I didn't think I'd be on that side of things. I just think college is
that
so expensive.
Like the mature thing to do. I mean, honestly,
I also don't think he's gonna miss out on chicks. I think if you ever been here during Fleet Week,
yeah,
those guys are fucking girls all week long.
Well, that's also the military. That's the Air Force has the hottest girls too. So,
they do.
Yeah, I think so.
See, you're hearing from experience right here.
Yeah.
TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. This one's called Prom Second String.
Oh, boy. I don't like this one already.
What's up, J-Train? 1,000 fuck yous from you truly. From yours truly. I'm a junior in high school, and it's prom season. He just told me to fuck myself, and I'm fucking junior in high school.
Yeah.
I'm already going with some people to my schools and an after party, blah, blah, blah. However, I am faced with a weird situation. My ex-girlfriend from last year from another school, we had a relationship for about 6 months, recently asked me if I, in the case she didn't get asked, would be her date to her prom. So he's going to his own prom. He's been asked as a backup plan for his ex-girlfriend. Do we get it?
So he's going to his own prom.
Yes.
He's already got a prom. Oh, okay.
But then he's asked as a backup for his ex-girlfriend that goes to a different school.
Different school.
You know, you should know that this girl and I have made up since the breakup and have become friends. And he writes in parentheses, legitimate, we text non-sexually, just talking like friends. Okay. We've had lunch together a few times. I haven't discussed other girls with her. She hasn't discussed other guys with me, leaving us in a weird state. I told her, sure, I'd be happy to be the second string date because I'm trying to be nice. Recently, though, I've been thinking, and I don't want to just be the backup. I want to be her actual date she takes. Is there some non-weird way to tell her this? She hasn't been asked by any guys yet. It's just around the corner from now. He writes, it's on April 17th. Oh, already happened, but let's talk about it. So what do you think? What do you...
Well, have him write in and let us know what happened.
Yeah, let us know.
Contrast the advice.
Let us know what happened. But yeah, then we'll go back. That's a good idea, Chris. What do you think?
I mean,
I'm sure this does happen where someone's like, listen, you're my prom date if all else fails.
Right. But if it's his ex-girlfriend and they're friends, what's the big deal? He's already got his own prom date.
Sounds like he still likes her. Yeah. It sounds like he likes her.
His pride's getting in the way or whatever. He doesn't want her...
I think he should not say anything. I think he's in a good spot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's in a spot that can allow him for maybe the summer to rehash.
He's got leverage either way.
Yeah, because he's going to his own. The thing when you're friends with a girl or a guy and you don't want to... And you just begin to like get the feelings for that person, and you've sensed that that person might be getting feelings for you because that's what he's sensing. He's sensing she's put this out there that he could be her date, which right. means that there's some interest in him.
Right.
He felt that interest, so he's thinking, maybe I am a little interested in getting back on this horse too.
Right.
So whoever reveals that, it kind of ruins this illusion and the fun in this.
Yeah. So if he keeps,
stay naive to all this.
Yeah, because if he says, yeah, I'll go, I'll be the backup, and she does find someone, then whatever. He hasn't lost anything.
He hasn't lost anything by saying, I want to be your date.
I offered to do something kind for you. You know? And then if she does take him.
Go have the best time.
Go have the best time and see whatever happens.
See what happens and don't address the friend thing. Just... go and have fun. You're her date. That is, be the date guy. Be the guy that she wants to kiss at the end of the night. Don't be the guy that's like, hey, we're just friends. Don't even admit to that.
And then he should also be like, listen, I'm going on my own prom, and if that girl doesn't want to hook up with me, could you be my backup after that prom?
Yeah, you be my post-party backup. But even if she does find it, let's say a guy asks her, okay, and he ends up being shoved aside. When she texts him and lets him know that, hey, listen, I got a guy that asked me, I'm going to go with him. Say, that sounds great. I hope you have the best time. And then the last text you write, we should hang this summer.
Right.
Leave it at that. And leave it at that because then you're saying, hey, I'm not insulted. I'm still in this game for you.
I'm cool. I'm confident.
Yeah.
I'll be good with or without you.
I'll be here in the summer.
Yeah.
This dick will still be waiting.
Old golden dick. Just waiting for
you. The old half chub. I'll be half ready to go. Yep. And then you're ready. And so, but I think he's on the precipice of a big mistake where it's like, no, take me. Yeah, and it's like,
once you break that ice or whatever, it changes the whole dynamic.
Totally. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. We got time for one more. We're going to do one more.
One more.
We're here with Andy Hendrickson. Go follow him, support him. Fantastic comic at Andy Hendrickson on all platforms, andyhendrickson.com. We're going to either do one of two things. Crazy butt stuff story or lost his V card, we lost him.
So wait, he loses his virginity and then he...
I think his buddies have lost him.
Because he's always...
Well, we don't know. Which
Let's
one?
Let's go crazy butt stuff story. Come on. Who cares about someone's virginity?
I go,
see, oh, our friend doesn't hang out with us because he's getting laid all the time now.
Great. Fair enough. Crazy butt. What's up, J Train? Let's get right to it. I don't have any clever Jew nicknames for you. For the past week, I've been talking to this girl in one of my classes, a 796. So we have a rating system here in the podcast. Girls or guys can use it. It's a area code system, 796, face, body, personality.
Oh.
7 face, 9 body, 6 personality.
I like the system.
Yeah. She's on the volleyball team and always talks about not going out party as much as she wants to. Dude, that's a tall tale sign for a girl that wants to hang out. Naturally, after hearing this, I told her about the party we're having at my fraternity the next day, told her to come. I told her to bring some friends to make it less awkward. The only thing better than one hot volleyball player is 5 of them. She said she was in. Volleyball is also underratedly hot.
Yeah. Sometimes they have that kind of manly build, though.
I hear what you're saying. I just think the shorts alone.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
Those volleyball shorts are always
real
small.
Yeah, they do
feel
good. You put on a pair of those shorts.
I love wearing those volleyball. The candle was lit. She was in. She knows. Shows up with her friends. We immediately start taking shots. After a little while, she pulls a line straight out of the fucking playbook and asks, hey, do you want to show me your room? It was okay. Fucking on. As soon as we get upstairs, she attacks me like a starving tiger would attack a deer. As I'm plowing her, this escalated quickly.
Do tigers and deers live in the same environment?
I don't even know. like an
antelope maybe or something.
Yeah, I don't know if a deer
live where the tigers live. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong.
Like a dog would attack a kangaroo.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as we get upstairs, she attacks me like a starving tiger would attack a deer. As I'm plowing her, he really went from her making out with him to as I'm plowing her.
Yeah, that's just like
beeline. She throws me a curveball and tells me to put it in her ass. Wow. I don't even know how that gets thrown out there.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever even happened to me where girls are just like, throw it in. Like they're
yeah,
like,
that's
like she's working she's working a moving truck. Yeah, just toss it in.
Get it in there. It's ready.
I had no idea the 12 a.m. train to Pound Town would have a layover in Butt Stuff City.
His that I don't night, like it the way he writes.
But
this
I gladly ran with it and did what she wanted. Here's where it gets weird. Apparently, it's a semi-common thing for athletes to get minor hemorrhoids because of straining stuff or some shit. I later found out this was what caused the shit show that was about to take place. A few minutes later, I noticed way more liquid that should be down there. I turned on the light to come to find my bed looks like the floor of a slaughterhouse. We both freaked out, and I snuck her out the back so her friends could take her to the hospital. Shit. And then he writes,
can we do the V-card story?
Okay. Hold on. I get to take you to the hospital. And then he writes, at least I got my nut off. You fucking psychotic asshole.
Oh, you know what? We could take this back to that other, the original email.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do to get your nut off.
Just get her. So you got to give a girl, so tell any girl you have sex with to take a real mean dump.
Yeah.
Get some hemorrhoids and then bleed everywhere. You'll fucking nut off.
What's his question, though?
I later learned she was fine and we ended up fucking again because she felt bad about ruining my sheets.
Wow.
Hey, man, I'm really sorry about that trip to Bed Bath & Beyond. Want to fuck again?
Yeah.
I just made sure to stay away from her chocolate starfish this time. So there it is. Hope you enjoyed my story. Keep up the good work. The podcast is the best part of my Tuesday mornings.
So it's not really a, it's no
this
question.
This isn't a question. He just wanted to
like,
tell us.
He wants us to say,
I think that's a warning.
Congratulations.
Yeah, good job, man. Have you ever done that? Your butt stuff? You ever gotten involved in that?
Yeah, but I'm not going to talk about it right now.
Okay.
Here.
<That's>,
it was this dude. It was a lot of drink.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know. Have you ever had someone bleed during a sexual experience? I mean, the bleeding stuff
yes.
happens. That happens all the time. It's not something you should ever... here's what you don't do when you see blood in a situation with a girl. Never go, oh, fuck! You know, like, try to be nice. Try to be a gentleman about it, because it can happen.
I, one time, when I was in college, hooked up with a girl, and she bled a little bit, but I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next night, I hooked up with a different girl. Because it was dark, and I just kind of got up and went about my day. And then, you know, I didn't make up, you know, it's college.
Yeah.
And we get back into bed, and She goes to use the bathroom, and I turn on the lights, and the sheets are rearranged, and I see the blood from the girl from the night before.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, shit. Ah.
Did you know it was from the girl from the night before?
Yeah.
You had a feeling?
Oh, it had to be. It wasn't, you know. The sheets were clean, but prior to that. Oh, you mean, were they from that particular girl? Yeah, because we hadn't gone that far yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was a first base situation that you saw third base remnants.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was bad.
I mean, that sucks because then you're like in this position where you're like, sure I gotta hide everything.
Yeah,
to make sure she doesn't know that there was a girl there the night before.
Right.
That's a tough situation. I've never really been in that situation. I've been in a situation where you've seen blood. Like, that's like with period sex. Like, I don't understand a guy that's like, ew, not for me. I'm like, whatever.
I don't feel good all of a sudden.
Yeah. You're not happy you came on at the 50-minute mark of the podcast. So Andy, thank you for coming on. This is great.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was a lot of fun.
Guys, keep sending those emails. We're going to do some news. tfmpodcast@gmail.com. Go follow, support Andy Hendrickson, andyhendrickson.com, @AndyHendrickson. You want to stay for some news?
Sure.
Discuss some news stories from TFM. You got some time? Let's do that. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned. I can't say life's a bitch because of what you make of me. Hey guys, welcome back. We're going to do some news. We're here with Andy Hendrickson. Andy, thank you so much for coming on. That was great.
Yeah, thanks, man.
So awesome. Go follow, support Andy, andyhendrickson.com. Chris?
Yes, sir.
Coming on from the booth. You got some news for us. You can find Chris on Snapchat,
you can find me on Snapchat, too, @ManSamp.
We got the Mandatory Samson podcast here on Stand Up New York Labs Network. Every Friday morning, you can wake up to it. Go subscribe, support that.
Thank you.
Let's hear it.
This one's going to hit close to home for you. Penn State bans day parties, but frats hold them anyway.
I heard about this. I read this story. What was the day party scene like at West Virginia's?
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys
I didn't know there was like a
difference?
A classification. Well, yeah, we had them all the time.
Well, did you have like, we had like, there were at Penn State, they had like big theme day parties. Like every house had their thing.
Yeah, we had them.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Like Sammy had Sam Stock.
Yeah.
KDR had the meatball.
Right.
This is when I was there. We had the clam bake.
Yeah.
There was the sailor's ball was Delta Sig's, and they had a big tank of goldfish, and everyone would take shots of beer with a goldfish in it.
Right.
Yeah, turn it to animals. Did you have anything like that?
Yeah, like the Sigma Chi's had like derby days. And
what was the most creative one?
I don't know. They were all just big. Outdoor cake parties.
Yeah,
all day. They get big bands to come in and, you know.
I mean, they all happen during the spring semester. There's usually a week where it'll be like Greek week that they all happen
right,
during.
Right, they happen during Greek week and sometimes in the beginning of the year we'd have them just to kind of like recruit.
Get people out. But I saw that there's nothing they can do to enforce this, though.
No, not really. And that's what it's saying because there's so many different frats that, you know, even if they're not announcing them to the IFC or whatever, they can basically just put
But it's also in. Like, I don't understand, like, why to even stop that. Like, why not just have the law take place? Like,
right.
Like why not? Like, why would a school come out against it? Why not just have a cop? Like, when a day party would get too big, a cop would show up and be like, it's over.
Right.
Right.
Game over. You've towed the line of responsibility enough that we have to kick it out. And I get that. Like sometimes like if a neighbor is like, fuck this shit.
Well that's what it is. Local residents are bitching about it, but there's a mechanism in place to take care of that.
But also like how many years could someone be living across the street from a fraternity? We're like,
are they at it again?
Yeah. Like, you know, like it's like Groundhog's Day. Like how do they not like I know it's tough to tell someone to move out of their own house, but the way it happened in, what's the movie where they had the fraternity that moved in next door?
Neighbors.
Neighbors is never how that happens. It's never like, right. Oh, this fraternity's moving in.
Right.
We bought a house with in a neighborhood.
Suburbs.
It's not how it happens. A fraternity house is usually in a college town, in a college area. Like, you know the deal.
Yeah.
So, if there's a need for cops to come, I agree. But
I would say the argument that they're probably thinking is that if you just start drinking at like noon, you know, by 8 o'clock, bad things are going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
But if you start a party at 8, by midnight, people are...
Well, nothing good happens after midnight. Yeah. Like at a day party, nothing good happens after 5 p.m.
Yeah, right. Like, you know. It adds extra hours.
I love day drinking much,
so
too.
Fun,
it is so much better than nighttime drinking.
It's an event. It's something to look forward to. You're like, I can't wait for Saturday. We're going to get up, start drinking, and then see where it goes.
See what happens. See how crazy shit gets. You take that 5-hour energy at some point. You're like, I'm going to push this.
Maybe take a shower even.
Take a shower with a beer.
You know? Right, you have to push through to go into the night.
Yeah, you know who like sucks and doesn't suck. Like, that's a great way to find out which of your friends sucks. The ones that are like 7 p.m., they're like, let's take a nap, and then you don't see them at midnight. You're like, oh, that guy isn't cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't push through.
I think that's a good way to test friends.
Right.
Hey, we're going to do this day party. You in? Yeah, I'm in. Oh, you got to take a nap at 6 o'clock? Okay, I'll never speak to you again.
We used to take these things that they buy at trucker stops. They're like, they called mini things. They stopped making them. But like,
oh, it's like the stay away pills?
Like Effergen or some shit. And like, yeah.
Yeah, that's called cocaine now.
Yeah, yeah. now they take the, what's the stuff everyone uses for studying?
It's Adderall. I took an Adderall. It was the worst decision of my entire fucking life.
I've never taken
Adderall. Don't do it. Don't do it to drink. It is the worst hangover.
Yeah, it's a bad hangover
you have ever had in your entire life.
Because you're just focused on drinking all day.
Yeah, and then you wake up. I was literally like in a pain that I've never been. I was like, this is performance enhanced pain.
Yeah, it gives you energy that you don't need.
No, you do not need it. Like, I just wouldn't do it if you're out there. We also haven't tested how this Adderall thing's going to play out. Like, people take it to study now, and you're like, how? Like, is this what's going to happen?
I dated a girl that was addicted to it.
Really?
Like I could see in the morning, she'd be like, ugh, and then I could see after it hit her, she'd be like,
different person.
And she
says,
I need it to focus, da 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 da. And I'm like,
Just because it's like a pharmaceutical drug doesn't mean it's not a drug still. You
know?
It's
a strong.
Well, it's
stimulant.
More a drug if it's a pharmaceutical drug.
That's true. Let's go to the next story.
We should probably wrap up with this one, actually, because we're running a little late here. This is an interesting one. Johns Hopkins halts discussion to bring Chick-fil-A to campus because of the beliefs of the company. If you don't know.
What are the beliefs of the company? I feel like this has gotten muddled, like the Chick-fil-A thing where he's racist. Is that
No, he's not racist.
Anti-gay marriage.
He's funded a lot of like Prop 8 type voting things against gay marriage, and he's come out against gay marriage. He hasn't been discriminatory against hiring gay people, but
this is one of those conundrums where your chicken is way more delicious than I care about gay marriage.
Yeah.
You're holding people out.
The guy has the right to believe whatever he wants to believe. It's America. It's a free country. But in
John Hopkins also has the right to say, we don't believe in what you believe, and we're not going to have Chick-fil-A here. And then the students of John Hopkins also have the right to be like, no, we fucking love their chicken.
Right.
Yeah. So, do you think there's someone out there going like, with signs pro Chick-fil-A because they just like the chicken so much?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough thing for me.
I really need this chicken on campus.
Yeah. I don't understand like the anti-gay marriage. Like, I don't understand why he would be, but I also do agree with you. We're like, let him. This is a dangerous thing to get to where you're like, well, he believe, like, that's the same thing as me being like, well, I believe in day drinking, so you're not gonna see my comedy because I believe in day drinking. I don't know. Like,
the fine line though is that he, you know, and whatever, you can argue this, but he's funding ways to stop gay marriage from happening, which is like, now you're taking it to a different. If you believe that they shouldn't get married because you're religious,
that's
or whatever, fine.
Good, well, that's how good fast food is. That's how delicious it is.
That's how the powerful people work on all ends of the spectrum. They put money towards
the things they want.
Right. Yeah.
And no, they're just fine. That's the way it works. But I just think that it's funny that chicken wins in the face of politics.
It's good. It's good.
Oh, 100%.
Good chicken. Like, that's how good the chicken is. I think it's more a referendum on the deliciousness of fast food that people are like, yeah, I just don't want to think about that.
Picturing like a gay couple getting married and then stopping by Chick-fil-A on their way to their honeymoon. Just like, oh, God, it is good. We just got to have
food. Right, which is what they should be doing anyway. It's like, oh, look at this. Look what I'm eating. Yeah. Deal with that, buddy.
I mean, you know, who else is a big hardcore with that stuff? Isn't Papa John got some weird theories?
I think he's a conservative.
Yeah, he's
conservative.
Oh, he's just conservative. That's how, it's tough to be a conservative in this country. You're now seen as like a weirdo.
Well, but of course, Papa John is. You know, like, Papa John should be. He's loaded. He's a big business owner. Of course he's conservative. Yeah.
I mean, I've voted Republican in the past
Well, you're, look at you. You're loaded. You got the TFM podcast.
Yeah, I mean, look at this.
Yeah. You sell those dick t-shirts or whatever they are.
The Brinks truck that came here, we had to turn them away. But I'm just saying, like, I just think the Republican Party's held back by...
The extremists.
The extremists. I think it's... I think the conservative ideals are the better ones. And then you get these... Like, I'm like, yeah, smaller government, less taxes. And I'm like, yes, all good. And then one guy runs in and is like, and no gays. And I'm like, whoa, 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 get out of here, man.
Right.
You're ruining it for the rest of us. Like,
let's say a lot of people say they're fiscally conservative, but
socially liberal. I am. I mean, I'll say that if you're offended by that, I'm sorry.
There's no good middle ground party that represents that sentiment.
Because I do think that like social change isn't dictated. I think it just happens.
Right.
Like, you know, weed is going to be legal. There's no stopping that train. We are on the path.
Yeah.
You know, that's a social policy that will go through because it just is.
My buddy has a couple kids and he was like, I was telling my wife, I think I'm going to start smoking weed again. She was like, what? And he's like, when our kids are 21, it's going to be like they can come over to our house and smoke weed in our basement and they bought it at the store.
Like, yeah. It's going to be like, I have family going into the medical marijuana business right now.
Do they need help?
Yeah, if you want to go work for them. Testers. You want to go test. No, but it's funny because, you know, you have the licenses and these people that were once criminals in their basement growing plants and figuring this shit out are now scientists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like they are now real everyday working tax paying people. And I am like, yes, good. Let them have jobs. Let them contribute. And they're like right now creating strains of marijuana that are going to be like fine wines. There's going to be, you know, people that are buying just like you get a bottle of wine that was like a $500 bottle in a better year. There's going to be that for marijuana.
Is that a 2011 OG Kush?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. God. But that's going to happen. They're already doing that.
No,
sorry. Yeah. So I'm saying like with something like that where it's like that's going to happen just like, so like why even put in the sweat equity into shit like that, you know, like why even try? But I don't know. That's a little nice way to end this podcast.
You can check out the Mandatory Samson podcast. Talk about politics, stuff like that all the time.
So go check it out. Mandatory Samson podcast every Thursday night at midnight.
Thank you.
Friday morning. Andy Hendrickson, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, man.
This was fantastic.
A lot of fun.
Go follow him, support him. www.andyhendrickson.com. I am Jared Freed. We're here every Tuesday. Send in your emails. Keep telling your friends. tfmpodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next Tuesday.